For the past 1 week, Cote d'Ivoire has been in the news because of the political crisis in that country. As it is today, the country has two presidents, Laurent Gbagbo and Lassana Ouattara. What is the root cause of the problem and how can it be resolved? This is our focus today as I welcome you to another package of Africa This Week. We also have news and a special report on the country in focus. My name is Idara Ukpanyang. Happy listening. The political crisis in Cote d'Ivoire is our focus tonight. But before we discuss that, let's get to know what happened within the continent last week.
A very good evening and welcome to the news bits. African Union yesterday suspended Cote d'Ivoire following a disputed presidential election in the country. AU official Rematara Lamara said Cote d'Ivoire would remain suspended until opposition candidate Alassane Ouattara takes over from Laurent Gbagbo. In a separate development, the US has warned that it would sanction Mr. Gbagbo if he refuses to step down. A court in Kenya has ruled that a former Somalia embassy building sold after the collapse of the Somalia government was illegally acquired. A former Somalia ambassador to Kenya is alleged to have sold the property to a Kenyan businessman in 1994. And finally, cases of strange illness have been reported in some areas of Uganda's cities. Tests have so far failed to identify the cause of the illness that has killed at least 38 people in northern Uganda. And that's the news. Back to you, Idara.
All right. Thank you very much. It is no longer news that there are two sitting presidents in Cote d'Ivoire. While Laurent Gbagbo is supported by the country's security forces, Alassane Ouattara, who operates from a luxury hotel in Abidjan, gains his support from the international community. And in fact, he's been guarded by the UN security forces. It sounds quite interesting. But before we go further, let's take you to Cote d'Ivoire for just a few minutes. The Republic of Cote d'Ivoire is located in West Africa. It was originally known as Ivory Coast until October 1985, when the government requested that it be known in every language as Cote d'Ivoire. With an estimated population of 20 million, the country is rich in cocoa and coffee productions. Cote d'Ivoire, whose capital is Yamoussoukro, has its independence on 7th October 1960. After independence, the country was ruled by President Félix Houphouët-Boigny for 33 years before his death in 1993. He was succeeded by Henri Konan Bedi. Unlike his predecessor, President Bedi emphasized the concept of Ivoirity. The policy excluded many people who migrated into the country from Ivorian nationality and disqualified them from contesting in elective positions. This situation created rivalry among the various ethnic groups, especially between the north and south. In 1999, Cote d'Ivoire recorded its first coup d'etat, and General Robert Gouy took over power from President Bedi, who fled into exile in France. The following year, a presidential election was held in which Laurent Gbagbo defeated Mr. Robert Gouy. 2 years later, in 2002, there was a failed coup in which rebels from north claimed most part of the region. The country was still besieged by rebels until March 4, 2007, when the Ouagadougou Peace Agreement was signed, and subsequently, Gualome Soro, leader of the group New Forces, became prime minister in President Gbagbo's government. Initially, President Bagbo's tenure was to expire on October 30, 2005. But due to the lack of disarmament by the rebels, elections could not hold. Finally, the much-awaited presidential election, which has been postponed for more than six times, was held on 31st October this year. The exercise went into a second round when none of the 13 candidates won at least 50% of the vote cast. At the runoff held on 28th November between the incumbent president Laurent Gbagbo and Alassane Ouattara, the country's electoral commission declared the opposition candidate Ouattara the winner. The result was rejected by the Constitutional Council, who claimed it was won by the incumbent, a situation which has led to Cote d'Ivoire now having two presidents who swore themselves in last Sunday.
That was a brief report on Cote d'Ivoire, and we're focusing on the political crisis in that country. In the studio to discuss the issue are two experts in African affairs. I have Dr. Emeka Efiong. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you and welcome.
I also have Mr. Henry Okotie. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
I want to begin with Mr. Okotie. What would you say is the root cause of the crisis that we are now experiencing in Cote d'Ivoire?
Thank you very much. The root cause is not far-fetched. It is the nature of African politics. The character and nature of African politics is six-side syndrome. And that, again, is an offshoot from our traditional pattern of leadership, where you have a traditional ruler who is there for life. And therefore, that has been transmuted into Western democracy, so that the African leaders do not understand the definition, content of democracy.
How long will it take us to understand this?
You see, the way the African leadership is structured is that the people serve the leader. But in democracy, the leadership serves the people. So it is very difficult for them to understand, to come to grip with that, that when you lose an election, you leave because the people have spoken.
Okay, Dr. Efiong, does it really have to do with our culture? Is that why we're having all this political crisis, all this sit-tai syndrome in Africa?
Let me continue where he stopped, actually. I share his view that the nature of state politics is central to some of this problem. The Leviathan of a state and the dividend of acquiring state power. Let me ask you, if Laurent Gbagbo leaves office now, where will he go to? When we talk about the democracy, we have to put in mechanism for rehabilitating our leaders when they leave office.
Is that the problem?
It's part of the problem. Now, we tend to just oppose Western tradition of democracy on our own African tradition of democracy. In traditional African society, we have our own democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Various African states have been coerced under the state. And an alien system of government have been brought in to use and rule them. We've been struggling to come out of this confusion that was superimposed on us. And there are so many interests to reconcile. Ethnic interests, religious interests, group intra-elite feud. This is something we see manifesting in Cote d'Ivoire. It's showing that since independence, we've not been able to evolve a pattern that will accommodate these our differences.
Mm. For how long will it continue? That's my own concern. We are in a modern world now. We are no longer in the traditional African society. So how can we now follow the world?
Let me tell you, tropical region and temperate region are two different things. The more we go keep on bringing alien value without reconciling what is ours. In this country, people have been talking about sovereign national conference. We've not been bold enough to come and say, let us sit down and actually appraise ourselves and tell ourselves, say, let us work out a workable pattern among us.
Okay, let's go back to the crisis in Cote d'Ivoire. Mr. Okotie, did you at all envisage this kind of crisis? Why I'm asking is because when the election started, everybody said it was free and fair, it was peaceful, it was transparent, the UN mission said so, the international community said so, and all that. So what really went wrong?
Part of the problem is that Gbagbo has been warlord from more like the political class. So he has been surviving crisis like this. You know, this is the same way he came in. So he seen himself as crisis manager. Because of the fragile nature of Cote d'Ivoire, this is a country that just came out of civil war and all that, which he managed. So he thought, well, for that reason, there's no way I cannot win any election, you know. But he's surprised that
at least the people still have a voice. Like Emeka said, he now begin to think, if I leave power, what happens to me? Because they enjoy the power. You see, don't forget that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'll say is this. What ECOWAS is doing, AU and all that, has become just, you know, very ceremonial. That is why people like Gbagbo can still be there as we speak. What is sanction? Sanction for what? There must be a way, a mechanism of forcing African leaders, recalcitrant African leaders, out of power.
But what else would you have expected ECOWAS to do, Dr. Efio?
Let me come in first by the issue. Personally, I anticipated this problem before the elections.
And I must, in this instance, I will praise ECOWAS, AU and the UN for being bold to say this man, Ouattara, won the election. Gbagbo knows if this thing goes out of him. There are so many atrocities that have been committed in the past that may come up again. But the blunder he did was the blunder of what I may call a coup.
Okay. But I'm still going back to my question on ECOWAS, the decisions of ECOWAS.
Yes.
Those decisions, you just said they are plaudable. What else would they have done?
No, ECOWAS will not put in troop for now. What they are doing, if you look at UN General Assembly outcome document 2005, when Aspect talked about responsibility to protect, in section 139 and 138, what you see is, when you look at a country, there are three aspects of it: prevention, protection, and international cooperation. Now, what I see is that the international community have looked at Cote d'Ivoire, and Cote d'Ivoire is about going into civil war again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All this diplomacy mm-hmm. seen now is mm-hmm. preventive measures that are taken, which is applaudable. So, ECOWAS also work with UN and AU, mm-hmm. but I don't see any need for military intervention.
Okay, let me ask Mr. Okotie. Sorry, I have to cut you. Mr. Okotie, assuming Mr. Gbagbo refuses to surrender.
President Gbagbo.
President Gbagbo. Assuming he refuses to surrender,
yeah.
What do you foresee?
Well, if he refuses to surrender, again, we foresee a situation of crisis. As it is now, you know, people are already leaving Cote d'Ivoire for Liberia, you know, as refugees. But like I said, this can also be prevented by troops. The troops might not really be not war, but, you know, peacekeeping troops.
But okay? They have UN troops.
I'm already coming. UN troops are there. You see, but UN troops right now cannot go in with its own army until all diplomatic instruments have been exhausted. And of course, they will have to force him out of government.
Forcing Gbagbo out of government, won't it resolve to a civil war?
It might not necessarily resort to civil war if the crisis is well managed, because Ouattara has won the election. And if Ouattara is sworn in as the president and supported by the international community, supported by AU, supported by ECOWAS, supported by UN, I don't see where the civil war will be coming from.
Can I comment?
Yeah.
I think what AU and ECOWAS, you were talking about, is it route for Laurent Gbagbo now, in my own view.
Mm.
Exactly.
Because we'd have no problem if he leaves power. But if he's leaving power, he has committed some things that should not be left unpunished. This is subversion of popular mandate that was done. It's like a coup against the people. Civilian coup, if you call it that way.
So he should be punished.
It's something that is the aftermath of
his
leaving.
It depends on the way he was. He leaves power.
No. What I'm even that saying is that
it's
now,
important.
Now,
the way
now.
He leaves power
what
is
I'm
important.
Saying,
that is it.
That he could give him soft landing.
I don't even want soft landing. Because AU have sent Thabo Mbeki. I'm yet to see what he's going to come up with. But my concern is that if he remains in power, there is civil disobedience.
Okay, let me hear from Mr. Kuti.
I think what the game is playing now is that of power sharing, which he has asked for.
Yes.
You know? And again, we must not accept that. Otherwise, if we do, it becomes another trend in African politics. And because we already have it in Kenya,
and
it's
Zimbabwe.
Not working, and Zimbabwe, and it's not working. My only push for ECOWAS and United Nations is that they should go beyond the instrument of just sanction.
And do what?
If it becomes necessary, troops should come in.
At what point do you deploy troops? For me, we have not exhausted diplomatic.
No,
angle.
It has not been exhausted. That's why I said,
but
if it becomes necessary.
If you know the so-called responsibility to protect, the doctrine is clear.
Yeah.
Prevention, protection, and international cooperation. That means intervention. So if he calls for that, but I don't pray he gets to that.
Mr. Okotie.
We're also praying that he doesn't get to that. But at the point he's going, let's assume he doesn't get to that.
He doesn't get to that.
We hope so. Already, yeah. Thabo Mbeki is in Cote d'Ivoire. But do you see him succeeding in mediating to bring the crisis to an end?
Yeah, well, you see, there's a problem we have in Africa. Because Thabo Mbeki was a former president of South Africa does not make him an expert in mediation. I think we should begin to look for experts in these areas. Not just because somebody has the appellation, you know, of being an ex-president or whatever. But we must look at the criteria, the qualification, the professionalism, you know, because mediation itself is not just because I was president and all that, therefore I'm an expert in mediation. It shouldn't be so.
Okay.
It shouldn't be so.
Can I come in?
Yes, doctor.
I beg to disagree. We are at a high level of interaction, heads of state to heads of state. Mm. And you need someone of that caliber. It's not all about heads of states.
There are
the Secretary General of UN is at the height. But my problem with Mbeki is that I wonder if the rebels have actually really forgiven him.
So
when I say president, as for President Mbeki, say Mbeki again.
So that's the point I'm
people
making.
Say
so
that.
It's not the position.
People say
it's
that,
the personality.
Mbeki
the other
knows
president,
it again.
The other president that could do it better.
Before. But my problem was, in 2005, 2006, the rebels backed out of Mbeki's mediation.
Yeah.
The same rebel governance problem. Mm. That's what it's going into.
I think that's the point Mr. Okoti is
trying
to make.
That's the point I
mean. So virtually, both of you are saying the same thing.
My fear is that there are some paper agitators. Mm. Agitators who are into advocacy, NGO groups, who want to take over that responsibility.
As you want us to go back to the issue of power sharing.
Yeah.
Although ECOWAS have come out categorically to say they will not support it.
Yeah.
But I want to look at it from this angle. I want us to be very, very objective now. Mm. Is it not preferable to accept power sharing than the country disintegrating?
No.
My answer is no.
No.
No to power sharing. That's a dangerous trend we know in Africa now. If I have discussed with my colleagues, we have an international network. Well, see, it says the Gbagbo is learning the same virus from Kibaki and the President Mugabe.
Mugabe.
We don't want that in West Africa here.
So what that means is that if I lose election, I might hold on tenaciously to power, expecting
will lose
to share
their life.
Power. Okay, that is the trend. And if we now see that, what will you call that? Is it democracy? It's not a democracy.
Okay, finally, because it's just a pity we have so much to discuss about Cote d'Ivoire, but we don't have time on our hands. What should the international community do? Going beyond ECOWAS now, by extension, the United Nations and all that. Already recently, Russia is accusing United States of interfering in domestic politics.
Let us don't bring this Cold War hangover into our region.
There's this thing that makes me sit on edge when we talk of the international community.
Mm.
You see, the international community is so
about interest.
Amorphous, you know, and all that. How do you define international community? You see, don't forget that Russia has always been
Cote d'Ivoire.
to Cote d'Ivoire and all that. They have their own interests. America also have their own interests. But the point we must make in Africa is that it is time we stand up and walk. You know, let us even talk about Africa international community. We should know what is good for us. As a matter of fact, Nigeria with 150 million population should be able to determine what happened in West Africa before America.
That is it.
One, any conflict in or arm importation in Cote d'Ivoire will bear the brunt. Okay?
Okay. On that note,
that.
I want to thank you very sincerely, Dr. Emeka Ifeom, for coming to the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also, thank you, Mr. Henry Okotie.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to the program. With that, we end today's package of Africa This Week, where we discuss the political crisis in Cote d'Ivoire. My guests were Dr. Emeka Ifeong and Mr. Henry Okotie. For questions or comments, write to africathisweek@radionigeria.net or africathisweek@yahoo.com. Many thanks to Haruna Idris and Austin Bayeri, who assisted in the production of the program. Till next week, same time, I remain Idara Okwayan. Have a fulfilled weekend. We'll be right back.